mood swings, everything else. Start off looking at in this warfare, in this battle that we're in, we started looking at about being lost in the battle. And you know, we're out here. Our job is to reach those that are lost and away from God. They don't know they're lost. Lost people don't know they're lost. And so it's our job to help them to see where they're at. You got to take the light with you. But you know, in the same way, we got church members in very good churches. They're lost. They've lost their way. They've lost their direction. They've lost their their burdens. They've lost their compassion. They've lost their love. And in the Bible, you know, it addresses all these things. You know, and it can happen. We looked how the word lost is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. It's mentioned 15 times in the four Gospels, and all of them was in relationship to the nation of Israel, because they were lost and away from God. They were still God's people, but they were lost. Some of them, God knew they were, you know, they were going to be saved. He knew them. He knew they was going to be in His kingdom, but they were still lost. They didn't know what God was doing. They wasn't hearing God speaking. And then we had, you know, John the Baptist come on the scene, and he become to be that light, pointing nation of Israel towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that they didn't turn, did they? No. They're still lost. They still God's people, and they're out there away, and they're lost. But I'm afraid that we've got a church today that's very similar to where Israel was when Jesus Christ came back. We're losing our direction. We're losing. Some of us forgot why we're even here. Think about it. Why are we here? Why did God save us and leave us here? Some people think, well, it's so that we can, you know, worship and praise God. When I get that new glorified body, I'm going to be able to worship and praise God. Amen? I'm not here just, and I should worship and praise God. I enjoy it. But I do it a whole lot better when I get to heaven. Amen? So I didn't get left here, you know, just to worship and praise God. Some people think, well, we're here to learn about God. Hey, when I get that new glorified body, and this mind is new, anybody have any problem with this thing? Huh? But praise God, when I see Jesus, I see Him as He is. I'm going to be like Him. Amen? I'll be able to think clearly. I'll be able to read this Bible and understand it. Now I can't. You say, well, I understand it. No, you don't. Holy Spirit has to teach you the Bible. You can't understand it. You think you do. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And a lot of people wrest the Scriptures to their destruction, the Bible says. And they'll say in that day, did we not? You know, they thought they understood the Bible. So a lot of people, you know, we're here to learn about God. And when I get that new glorified body, I'll understand things. I'll see some things. Some people think that we're here for all kinds of reasons. But I'm here to tell you, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's one reason why God has left the church here. We're His body. And why did He come? To seek and to save them that are lost. But how are you going to seek what's lost when you lost yourself? Amen? When you've lost your direction, you've lost your compassion, you've lost your love. How are you going to tell people about how good God is when you've come to the point where you're discouraged and backslid, don't know it? You know, how are you? And you've got to stay at it. You've got to realize your weaknesses. I was talking with Brother Stephen Braille coming here. He told me he's got a thing that he does every day. He's got a list of things he reads, and he reads from the Bible every day. You say, because he knows his frailties. And he reads these things to remind himself where he's weak. And remind where his strength comes from. And remind him how much he needs the Lord. And that's what we need to do. That's the reason why we're looking at this thing about being lost. You need to realize you can get lost. Brother Terry, we've talked about this many times, didn't we, on bus routes. How we've lost some things since we've been saved. We thank God that He's still working on us. Amen. Ain't that right? But over the years, you can start losing some things. You can start losing that zeal, that compassion, that love for the Word. I know some of you, when you got saved. Now, I don't know how all of you was, but I know when I got saved, I couldn't get enough of the book. I mean, I'd go home a lot of times and read a couple hours. Pray and read. Now, I'm not doing this to me because I just remember that. And it wasn't me. It was that new birth that it took place. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. The reason why I tell you I ain't patting myself on the back because I can't say I got it like that anymore. It's a struggle, a fight for me to stay in that Bible now. It's hard for me to find time to do it. Just like we was talking about. Seems like, you know, when we get our age, everything's moving slow except for time and, you, like you said, your money. It gets gone quick, you know. Your time seems to get gone away from you quick. Over the years, it just seems like they're going faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And it won't be too long for some of us. Our time's going to be up on this world. Time is up. They're going to put us in a pine box or an urn or whatever, you know. I'm not going to tell you what to choose. The preacher said, you do what you want to about that. But you need to make plans for it because it's coming. Right? Just like the preacher said. Need to make plans for it. And we can lose our way. And we looked at a few things that can cause us to lose our way. And we're going to look at more of that today. Basically, mostly what we went over was the definition of being lost. Losing or being lost. Time, money, your mind. Some people say you can't lose what you never had. I come under that definition. Understanding, compassion, the amount of which is loss. Some of us have lost little. I'm one of them. I feel like I've lost little, as far as you know, possessions and family. Man, I tell you, I look at my life sometimes. And I said, "Oh God." I guess you knew I couldn't take much. Well, you didn't put a whole lot on me. I never had no children that went real wayward. They're all in church. Three of them serving God, you know, full time. I never had no real sicknesses among them or death to my children, as some of y'all have experienced, and it was hard, tough. So I look at it loss, and I don't feel like I've lost that much. Maybe if I lost a little more, I'd be a little more conscious, you know what I mean, of what it means to lose things, how important it is to make wise use of your time, your family. But the loss of testimony, trust, and, you know, these are important things that we can lose. Loss, lost is a past tense of lose. So you can look at these things that you can lose, your physical means or your mind or your testimony, or you can lose these things. And some of us have done lost some of these things, and in the past tense. And we need to be conscious of the fact of what we can lose, and then it could be lost to us. But thank God, there's one who can restore. Amen. If we have lost some things, there's somebody we can go to who can restore. But the first thing to have things restored, you got to first know that they're missing. Amen. How many of you ever went to the toolbox? You're a mechanic. Where's that at? I know I put it back in the box. And you run. Oh my gosh, I get at my work and sometimes I go to my box. Where's that at? Yeah, it was in my box. And I get thinking. Well, see, I was over here, and next thing you know, you start run every place you know you've been for the last 2 or 3 days, and that's where it is. It's right where I left it. And I'm going to tell you something, in this Christian life, that's the way it works. There's things, spiritual things in our life, and it's right where we left it. And if we're going to be restored, we're going to have to go there to get it. Most of it has been in here, and it's moved from here down to here. And I know that when we talk about the heart, we're just talking about that inner man. We're not talking about your stomach or your bowels. That's where you feel it. That's just where you feel it physically. It's not that the heart, pumps blood through air. But I'll tell you, that's where you feel it at times. Feel like it's breaking. But that's where you got to go. And we're going to look at some things now. These are some things that we can be lost and we need to be conscious of. Well, we're going to look at some of the ways that some of these things are lost. And if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. That's where our study really started on looking at this thing of being lost. It's in the book of Proverbs. And there's a lot in Proverbs about keeping yourself and the consequences of not doing it. But turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verses 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. One of the number one things that causes us to lose our way is that word pride. How many of us, we always get this story told on us men, right? You're out driving and you're going somewheres and you don't know where you're going. Huh? I know it's right down here off of so-and-so, and you're like, and the wife's saying, stop and ask directions. No, I get it, What is it, huh? What is it? I mean, we're known for being proud. Being too proud to say, I'm lost. Being too proud to say, I don't know where I'm going. Being too proud to admit that you're wrong. Oh boy, the other day it's happened at work. He's running the CNC, and he's over the shop basically. But he comes up and tells his boy, he says, check it and make sure what I did was right. Well, he got busy and didn't do it right then. He did come back and check it about 3 hours later. It was in the afternoon. And it was wrong. So he goes and tells him. He comes up there. They walk in there. He said, I told you to check this. You know what he did? He tried to divert his wrong off on the one who didn't check it. He's the one that made the mistake. He's the one that messed up. But it's your fault because you didn't check it. Huh? I mean, you know, people are bad about that. Blame anybody. It's anybody's fault but ours. You say, I don't have no problem. I'll say, you got a problem with lying then.
Right, that's right. That's right. Amen.
I mean, it's just, we've all got that in us. Nobody likes to be found wrong. We'll try to hedge around it if we ain't careful. It's in us. And it's a thing called pride. How many of people have sat on the pew week after week? They got a problem. They might not know what it is. It might be they're not saved or whatever. I can't go talk to nobody about this. I'm so-and-so. My pride won't let me. I know there was a time I was fighting with this thing with doubt. And I'd get alone, I'd pray about it, do this, and get into a service, and God get in there and just preach things really hot, and boy, you know, and he'd talk about the hypocrite, and I'm saying, oh, I know I'm a hypocrite. I know I'm a hypocrite. A lot of times I don't do what I know I ought to do. Or I say things that I ought not say. Or I think things that I ought not think. Or whatever. I know I can be hypocritical. Boy, I'd be, you know, man, fighting with that thing. But you know, one of the things I learned? When you got something that's bothering you like that, God don't want you there. Guess who is it who wants you there? Huh? He don't give you an answer. He don't give you a way out. He just keeps reminding you how sorry you are. If you want a way out, God will supply. If you want to get right, God will help you with it. But my pride, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, fighting this thing. Finally, you know, I said, okay, I got to talk to somebody. I got to have some help. I asked Brother Rick Hildebrand. I said, can you come over to my house and talk with me? I'm fighting with doubt about my salvation. He came over to the house. He's trying to lead me to the Lord. I told him, look, I know I'm saved. That ain't the problem. I know what Jesus did for me. I said, I can't call on him no more. I can't give him my life no more than I've already done. I said, but the devil is fighting me. So we prayed, and you know what? It didn't get better right then. I fought with that thing and fought with that thing. But it really helped when she got it out. Quit being proud. We got problems. The Bible said we are to bear one another's burdens. You know what a lot of our problem is in our churches? Can't nobody trust nobody. You need to have a character that people can trust you and come talk with you. We need that. We need people in our churches that you know that if you talk with them, that's as far as it's going, period. And that you're not going to look down your nose and try to figure out what's wrong with them. You're simply going to try to be a help and encouragement and pray for them. And pray with them. And be there for them. The devil just loves to get people by themselves out in this thing of pride. Huh? Because as long, it's like a lot of people I've run into over the years, they say, Well, I hope I'm saved. I ask God to save me, but I have that. He said, well, they probably ain't saved. See, that's what they need, ain't it? That's exactly what they need. My Bible said we're to be edifiers. We are to be. It ain't my job to get people lost. They're lost if they're lost. My job is the goodness of God that leads the man into repentance. My job is to tell people about how good God is, how He loves them, and build them up and help them to realize they can trust God. But if they can't trust you, how are they going to trust God? That's how we win people. You win their trust. You got to build that up. And that comes, you know, like that loss of testimony. I've known people, and I have no doubt of their salvation. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I was lost, and being like them, that's what it meant to be saved. You can keep it. But I don't want it. He said, what do you mean by that? I mean, they're self-righteous, judgmental, mean, arrogant. I've run into a bunch of them over the years like that. They the kind that'll slip a note on somebody. You need to take care of this, you know. Huh? I'm saying pride. And pride is one of the things that causes us to be self-righteous. And if you're self-righteous, you've lost your way. You're not right with God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Keep, abase yourself. Realize what you are. Realize you've been saved by the grace of God. Man, they used to have a saying when I was a boy, I think we need to get it back in our churches. Except for the grace of God, there goeth I. Yes, huh? Amen. Failure to do God's word. Failure to do God's word. We hear it. You know, there has got to be it's good to come and hear the Word of God and get built up in that truth and to learn these things. But if you don't do it, there's going to be some real problems. Look at this. Turn over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Y'all very familiar with this. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. See how righteous he is? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Samuel said, they have. Well, who's in charge? They or the king? They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Now all of a sudden he's not his God. He's trying to butter him up. You know, say, man, we did this for your God. He said, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Preacher brought that up here a while ago and Wednesday night. He said, say on. It's here. This news ain't going to be good. Amen. He's saying say on, but he ain't going to want to hear what he's got to say. Just say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, when he was humble. But pride's come in now. And you know what it led to? What pride lead to? Not doing the Word of God. He said, when you was little in your own eyes, you did what you were supposed to. But now you're the king. Now you're a commander. Now you got people under you. And guess what it's done? It's puffed you up. And then he goes on, he says, and thou, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Wonder why they didn't want to sacrifice their own stuff. How did a sacrifice if I take it from Jim and then offer it? That sounds like a lot of things going on in government today. I'll take his money and use it and sacrifice it. Everybody's willing to sacrifice somebody else's stuff. Amen. And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed. He said, and sent me, have brought Agag, the king of Ammon, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep, ox, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Boy, he just lost, didn't he? Not doing the word of God will bring loss. He said, but I'm saved. That don't make any difference. You ever heard of the word principles? They run all the way through the Bible. I don't care what dispensation you're in. You reap what you sow. Grace has been in every dispensation. Praise God. You better thank God for it. Because we don't always do the Word of God. We need to confess it. You know, if he'd have been smart, he'd have fell down right in and said, hey, and really repented. He didn't repent. He didn't repent. You know what? His pride wouldn't let him. He just kept on going in pride. I'm the king. You know, God's made a mistake here. It shouldn't be happening to me. But he's stubborn. He pointed out his problems right there. He said, for rebellion has the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Notice this. A third thing that leads people to become lost is covetousness. How many of you remember when you was young, you didn't have nothing? I mean, you didn't have nothing. It was a struggle all the time. Just to get anything or any worse. I heard Brother Jim talk about when he first built his first house. He said it didn't have no money. It only cost such and such. And It was a struggle. He said, he says, I wonder him and his wife was able to stay together. Ain't that what you told me, Brother Jim? It was a struggle. It was a fight, wasn't it? But you know something? He didn't have much. Ain't careful. You go through the years, you start getting. And you know what happens to people that get stuff? Most of them want more stuff. They start losing their direction. Stuff starts getting in there. You know why most people don't want to have children anymore? Stuff. Stuff. How am I going to have this nice boat and big cars? And if I got to spend my money on feeding, clothing, and educating children. But the Bible still says that they are what? Huh? They're what? That's right. And more than that, they're gods. They're gods. They're his heritage. And they're as heirs in the hands of a mighty man. But covetousness causes us to keep from doing the will of God. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason why a lot of people ain't having children today is covetousness. The love of stuff, things, pleasure, which is, the Bible said, is idolatry. Which is self-worship. It's not God worship. You're worshiping yourself. Them people that make them idols, you know what they do? They make an image after their own imagination. And they make a God like they want. Covetousness is idolatry. That's what he just told him here. But people lose their way because of pride, a failure to do God's word, which leads to covetousness, which is idolatry and self-worship. Look over. It started over in 1 Samuel 13. That's where it started. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Look in verses 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. It's always an excuse. We can always come up with an excuse for the things we do wrong. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto God. This wasn't about God. He was trying to use religion to draw people unto himself. That's good politics. I forced myself, therefore, stuck a knife to his throat, amen, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. What? If he done foolishly, he's acted like a fool, has he not? He's living like there is no God. He's lost his direction. And he's lost the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of wisdom, it's the beginning of knowledge, and he's lost it all. He has no fear of God. He took what he knew did not belong to him, and he was not supposed to do that under the law. Under the law, what was supposed to happen to him? They were supposed to kill him, amen? And the only reason why they didn't was because they had made him king. If he'd have been a soldier, what you reckon that Saul would have done to him? He said, oh, hey, boys, grab your rocks. So, idolatry and the lack of a fear of God. Why do things happen in our churches? It happens because we don't fear God. If we're not doing the Word of God, wonder why. We don't fear God. I guarantee you, when you was coming up, if your daddy said, go get the wood in, boy. Go bring in the wood. I want this thing full before nightfall, okay? Yeah. You know why? You feared him, didn't you? And if you didn't listen, you know, there's going to be consequences. Why is it we think that somehow or another now we don't have to listen to God and there are not going to be any consequences? We've lost our fear of God. There are going to be consequences, though. Daddy's coming home one day. Amen. Huh? We're going to get called home. Huh? How many of you is really, really looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ and hear the truth? I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know what the truth is. I'm just throwing myself on the mercy of God. God be merciful. God knows why we do what we do. I can't trust myself. I'll lie. I'm a liar. You say, good night. You say such things. So are you. You lie to yourself. You lie to people times. You'll lie to God. How many times have we said, oh, God, this year I'm going to do such and such and such and such, you know? Get about maybe halfway through January on a good year. Nah, I'm using it some extremes, but we need to look at this because we are. I know a lot of you, you've got character. You've worked hard at trying to do what's the right thing. You've built things in yourself and protection. But I also know this man feared God at one time. This man was humble at one time. This man, God chose. Now, I've heard preachers say the people chose. No, God chose him. He said, did not God choose you? Did not God pick you out? He did. But now, he's going astray. I'm running out of time. Another thing that gets in the way is sloth. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. And don't get me wrong. You can get too busy. You can get so busy in doing the work of the Lord, you lose sight of God's will for your life. I remember when I first got into Gospel Light and got over there, and Brother Craig Bryan run me down, got me into the bus ministry. I was supposed to spend 8 hours every Saturday at least. At least 8 hours every Saturday out visiting a bus route. You're supposed to be out on Thursday night visitation every week. You were supposed, and anything you started, you was to finish. And I went out a time or two preaching on the streets. And so I need to be there every Friday. Went down to Charlotte preaching on the streets. And then used to be a night we went over to the prison. I'm trying to think of what. Anyway, that left me 2 nights and all day Sunday. All day Sunday. Be on a bus route in the morning. Go out on a Bible club in the evening a lot of times. You ever work on them Bible club, evening Bible clubs? One of them evening Bible clubs. And I mean, my wife finally said, where's our time? Yeah, preacher brought that up the other night. Did you not hear it? If I didn't have a wife, I could have done that and more. But I did have a wife, and I did have children. I had responsibilities to them. But I also know that if you ain't careful, you start backing off, and you'll back off some more, and you'll back off some more, and you'll back off some more, and all of a sudden, you know what you are? You're lazy. King David found that out. We're going to look at that starting next week. Well, my time is out. But sloth can cause you to lose your direction. Sloth, laziness. Old David was laid on his bed, and in the afternoon he got up. Slept all day. Seen a girl that he knew wasn't his, and was somebody else's wife. See how sloth can help you to lose your way? Got him into a real fix, didn't it? Did he ever get away from it? Never. His whole life, it went with him. Went right through his children. Went right through his family. You're going to reap what you sow. Be careful. We got to be careful. We got to be diligent about this thing. We got to be diligent about watching. Watching. We're going to be on watch. Satan's going about. Seeking whom he can devour. And he'll use any means. He can use your pride. He can try to use your humility and turn it against you. You just got to be careful. And we need to look at this book and look at these examples and understand how we can do the same thing they did and lose our direction, lose our testimony, lose our children. And buddy, once it's lost, praise God, there's grace. Take it to God. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever liveth to make intercession. He can recover. He can recover some of these things. But hey, better not to lose them, amen? Brother Ernest, will you close us in prayer, please?